many of us are aware, honeybees eclose as adults and begin to perform a series of in-hive tasks before transitioning to metabolically intensive flight behaviors outside of the hive. This transition is accompanied by a suite of physiological changes, including increases in metabolic enzymes such as pyruvate kinase and cytochrome C oxidase, which presumably are there to help support the increase of aerobic demands of high performance while foraging. However, while we typically associate the transition to these different behaviors as being an age-related response, we know that this is very plastic depending on the conditions within the colony and conditions within the environment. Therefore, one of our questions is, how does age and behavioral development affect the development of flight performance? To answer this question, we use a single cohort colony approach, where we created a colony using 1 to 2 day old bees, and from this group, the bees would then transition through their behaviors at different paces. Some bees would transition early and become precocious foragers, while other bees would become normal age nurses. We would then also have normal age foragers, bees transitioning across their normal temporal development, and then overage nurses as well. This approach allows us to look at flight performance comparing bees that are the same age amongst different behavioral groups, such as comparing precocious foragers to normal age nurses, as well as comparing bees that are performing the same behavior across age, such as comparing precocious foragers to normal age foragers and normal age nurses to overage nurses. We measured flight performance using mixtures of variable density gases, which were normoxic. Gases ranged in density from normal air, and then we replaced the nitrogen within the air content with helium to create a gas called heliox, which is 1/3 the density of air, approximately the density of the air at the altitudes of Mount Everest, posing a substantial aerodynamic challenge for hovering flight. While bees were flying in these variable density mixtures, we recorded the flight sequences using a high-speed digital video camera, which allowed us to then record stroke amplitude, wing beat frequency, and wingtip velocity. Here we have a honeybee hovering in normal air. This honeybee is using a wing beat frequency of about 230 hertz and a wing stroke amplitude of about 90 degrees. This same honeybee was able to hover in pure heliox. Notice in this picture, or in this video here, the honeybee's wing stroke amplitude is greatly increased, approximately 140 degrees in amplitude. And if we take a look at the wingtip trajectories, blue being air, red being the heliox condition, again, the challenges of flight in heliox are met with a large increase in the wing stroke amplitude to increase the wing speed to generate the aerodynamic lift required. Now, when we take a look at flight performance across age, flight performance on the y-axis here, again, in percent heliox, with 100% heliox being the best flyers. These are the bees that are able to fly in the least dense gases. Again, air down here, and then we had a couple observations of bees that were unable to fly at all. What we see here is that there is no effect of age on flight performance in nurses. There's a significant effect of age on flight performance in foragers, however, it only explains about 17% of the variation. The take-home message here is that at any age, foragers are better flyers than nurses. Now, why is this so? If we take a look at flight performance across body mass, what we see here is that there's no effect of body mass on the flight performance in foragers, and there's a significant effect on body mass on the flight performance of nurses. Again, only explaining about 17-18% in the variation. However, because these are all independent observations, we can compare this entire group, and we see that body mass predicts for flight performance quite significantly, explaining about 66% of the variation amongst the group. So what we see here is that, again, if we look at bees in general, body mass is a very, very strong predictor, and that would lead you to believe that the increase in flight performance that accompanies the transition from nursing to foraging, again, relies also on the decrease in body mass during that same transition. That isn't the case. Now, when we take a look at the flight kinematics, remember before, A bee's ability to fly in both air and hypodense gas is dependent upon how fast the bee can beat its wings. And that depends on both the frequency in which the bee is beating the wings as well as the absolute amplitude the bee is beating its wings. And so when we take a look at most hymenopterans, right, honeybees in general beat their wings at around 225, 230 hertz, around 90 degrees in amplitude. And when they fly in an aerodynamic challenge environment such as hypodense heliox, right, they simply increase their amplitude and they keep wing beat frequency the same. And this has been shown in both honeybees, carpenter bees, as well as orchid bees. Right? And in fact, when looking at normal age foragers, again there, wing beat frequency and wing stroke amplitude is what we'd expect. And they increase their stroke amplitude with a non-significant change in their wing beat frequency. However, when we look at the flight kinematics of nurses, nurses' wing stroke amplitudes are around 120 degrees when hovering in air, right? And a wing beat frequency of about 220 hertz. Again, this is because nurses are much heavier. They are flying closer to their aerodynamic limits when they're in air. And when they fly in their least dense gas in that hypodense atmosphere, they marginally increase their stroke amplitude, but they also decrease their frequency. Nurses are unable to maintain stroke frequency, unlike typical foragers. Now, what's also interesting is when we look at that group of precocious foragers are intermediate to the nurses and the typical foragers when hovering in air, but like the nurses, they also decrease their wing beat frequency, right, when flying in a hypodense gas. They still increase their stroke amplitude, leading to an absolute increase in the wing speed required to accommodate heliox gas, but they are unable to maintain their wing beat frequency. Now, I can probably talk about a number of biomechanical mechanisms that contribute to this for a great length, possibly boring you guys to death and leading to conference collapse disorder. All right? But the take-home message here is that the transition to flight-intensive behaviors is accompanied by a large increase in flight performance. The general trend is that foragers are lighter. Nurses decrease body mass, they shed a fair amount of water weight, allowing them to carry less mass when they're flying in normal air, all right, allowing them to fly at lower density gases, having greater flight performance, and again, possibly allowing them greater payload for foraging both nectar, pollen, and water. However, foragers are able to maintain their wing beat frequency. So there's something about the maturation and the kinematics across age and development that allow foragers to maintain wing beat frequency while nurses and precocious foragers do not. Right, and so I'd like to thank some funding agencies that have helped for this project, NASA, Nevada FSCoR, who have funded me the last 2 years, NSF and NIH, as well as Sable Systems providing us equipment to continue this research. And with that, I'll take any questions. It's been studied to some extent in terms of the valence and the size of the molecules that are being replaced with nitrogen. In general, helium hasn't been shown to have any effect on the neurology and the physiology of honeybees. They're still receiving a normoxic environment, 21% oxygen. So it's simply just replacing the nitrogen and making it less dense. Okay.